Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. Hope you guys are staying strong and healthy, as always. And hope you guys enjoyed the Hagmann Report on Friday. We went over a lot of different topics, some of which we've been talking about all week. We went into detail on a lot of different stuff that's been going on. And one topic that we basically were discussing is the fact and the requirement, essentially, now, for Americans to really start looking at what they're eating, what they're putting in their body, and how they're taking care of themselves, because the war on health has become so strong and so aggressive, it's not a joke anymore, and people are really starting to come to realize that a lot of the agencies in the government, including the EPA and the USDA and the FDA and all the other little alphabets, they do not care about your health. They never have. They never will. And that's why we continue to bring you the truth every single day at healthmasters.com to try to keep you as healthy and as strong as possible. That's why I continue to tell everybody, make sure you stay stocked up on the D3 10,000 K2 on sale right now at Health Masters for over 20% off for product of the week. You voted and it won. So be sure to take advantage of that sale over the next couple of days and vote for what you want to see win as well for the next kit or the next product on sale for product of the week coming up Wednesday. And also be sure to follow us on team_healthmasters, the new Instagram page. We just had to start all over again and rolling stuff out with different articles, different clips, different shows, behind the scenes, and different specials on the website or on Instagram at team_healthmasters. So be sure to check that out. And speaking of the alphabet agencies not doing anything except lying to you, the CDC has now disclosed another 780,000 new reports of serious side effects over the COVID-19 vaccine. The Epoch Times reported that the reports submitted by the agency's V-Safe reporting system allege experiencing heart inflammation, miscarriages, seizures, unconsciousness, Bell's palsy, and much more. The new information was released as a result of a January court order from a U.S. District Judge Matthew Komarski. It follows the V-Safe data previously detailed by civil rights attorney Aaron Seary in 2022. The data revealed that 800,000 of the system's 10 million participants, or approximately 7.7%, reported needing serious medical care after the COVID injection. 25% of those people needed emergency care and hospitalization. Another 48% sought urgent care, and another 25% on top of the 7.7% reportedly being unable to work or go to school. Now, it's interesting about this. If you guys remember, the reason why I'm bringing this up is the V-Safe project, and me and Steve were talking about this a while back ago, when the COVID shot was coming out, the CDC came out along with the FDA, and they came out and said, essentially, we're going to bring out a whole other platform because this is a new and experimental injection, because essentially we've only done 90 days of research testing on it, and we really don't know what it's going to do, but it's safe and effective. Trust us. We're bringing out what's called the V-Safe project, V-Safe reporting system. Now, this was different than the VAERS. This is actually like a secondary spinoff of the VAERS system, and the CDC said every single week, we're going to give the American population updated data on real-world life experiences that are happening with the COVID shot. We're going to keep everybody going and updated what's happening with side effects, the safety, everything. Every single week, we're going to give you guys updated data with V-Safe, and we're going to have the VAERS system as well. We're going to make sure everybody's covered and everybody knows what's going on. Well, if anybody remembers, the V-Safe data came out for like 1 week, disappeared. Nobody heard about it ever again. Nobody could get a hold of it. Nobody could get any data on it. And suddenly everybody started asking the question, if this was so safe and effective, why in the world is the V-Safe data being suppressed? And here now we have, again, the CDC was forced to release a lot of this V-Safe data. And they said over 10 million participants data who went into this, over 800,000 had severe medical care that they needed after the shot. So again, this goes to show you a lot of people may have gotten the placebo, because there were some people I know that got shot, had zero side effects at all, period. They did great. Other people got the shot, and they got unbelievably sick, and they're still continuing having problems. That's what the spike protein survival kit's for, and one of the reasons why we've continually recommended to make sure you're keeping your blood viscosity, your thinness of your blood, at a healthy rate with the vitamin E and also the natokinase, which prevents blood clots, which those seem to be some of the biggest problems we've seen now with that COVID injection, Dad. But it's funny to me now that this this V-Safe data gets released from the court order, and nothing to see here. Actually, Ukraine needs more money. We got to focus on that again now. Zelensky said he needs more money again for another mansion.
We got to buy another $20 million house. let's just back it off a notch. Let's come back on this thing. David Webb has wrote a book, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, he's got an outline here on the Burning Platform of what he had written, and it goes on to say that, but so then I realized what they have done since 2019 with the totalitarian lockdowns,
yeah,
their death jabs, their surveillance mechanisms, the imprisonment of dissenters, the stealing of the elections, the destruction of societal norms, perpetuation of an invasion on our southern border, and provocation of a global conflict designed to start World War III. And I do believe these traitorous billionaire banker scum will do this. And I mean, I thought to myself, wow. You know, they talked about FDR shutting down the banks in 1933.
Yep.
And how the Fed continues to control the planet. And, you know, it's a really good article. I'm going to post it for you guys. And it says the Federal Reserve is owned by too big to trust Wall Street behemoth banks. I like that, too big to trust. And does the bidding of the deep state. The Fed is indemnified by the government. In other words, they can't be held accountable for anything, for any losses they incur. Mm-hmm. They're currently sitting on $1 trillion of unrealized losses. They are the shadowy privileged institution that started in 1933 and in 1913. And that since 1913, they've only become more powerful and shadowy and corrupt today. And it's just, it's interesting. They have rigged the regulatory system in a way that makes anyone holding cash in banks an unsecured creditor with no enforceable claim to their own cash when they decide to crash the system as they did in 29. They won't bail out the banks the way they did in 2008. It's too busy, messy, and too time-consuming. They'll conduct a bail-in by shifting all of your deposits from what you thought was your safe bank account to the accounts of a protected class through legal machinations by the deep state rulers. They did a test run in Cyprus in 2013.
Yep, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Since 2008, the mega banks and mega corps with the patronage of the Fed they're owned by the Fed indirectly, have achieved tremendous success through BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard in their endeavors to enrich themselves by driving small businesses and small banks into bankruptcy and impoverishing the masses they feign to embrace. Today's everything bubble was created by the Fed using the justification of saving the world during the great financial crisis of 2008, again from the great flu virus of 2020 and 2022, by lowering interest rates to zero for the most part of 15 years. The major Wall Street banks were all effectively bankrupt in the fall of 2008 and should have been liquidated using our bankruptcy laws. Stockholders and bondholders would have been wiped out while depositors would have been made whole. Their assets would have been sold off to smaller banks who did not take world-destroying risks and leverage themselves to do it with derivative exposure. You know, I'm not going to read any more of this. I'm going to go ahead and post this stuff so you can have it in there. But what we have here is this group of entities that run the planet. And now I'm going to go here and I'm going to read you some scripture real quick because, I mean, you know, I had a friend of mine, you know, and I've talked to him repeatedly about what Israel's doing, what the Rothschilds are doing, and he basically does not want to believe any of this stuff. So I sent him these scriptures this weekend just to make him so he can't argue about it. And it says, and this is Revelation 3:9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Now, he's talking about the synagogue of Satan. We talk about this so many times on the show. And Revelation 2:9, it says it this way. This is twice now the Bible talks about this. It says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, I'm going to stop you for 1 second because, you know, Israel has come under tremendous pressure now because of the killing of those aid workers and those three separate drone strikes last week that we reported about. And now they're saying they're withdrawing some of the troops out of southern Gaza, but they're not saying they're going to stop the assault, that they're backing off a little bit now because the humanitarian crisis has become so bad in Gaza and the publicity they're getting is so bad because of these aid workers being killed by these drones. That they're having to reevaluate the speed in which they do what they want to do and the machinations behind the scenes with Benjamin Netanyahu, plus hundreds of thousands of people are protesting Benjamin Netanyahu now in Israel. They've about had enough of him. Now, I know him. He's about as slimy as they get. I met him in the seminar circuit back in the 90s. I had lunch with him. Don't care for him at all. He's just a weirdo. But I have to say this about him. When you meet him in person, like so many other people that are psychopaths, he's really, really, really nice. And I'll give him that. I mean, I actually talked to him. And he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room, as so many of these other guys do. And last night I was talking to one of my friends, and I was talking about the Christian mafia. I go, well, wait a minute. What do you mean Christian mafia? Yeah, it's a lot of Christian TV. And a lot of the people that are on Christian TV and a lot of the pastors that are on Christian TV are only on Christian TV for one reason, and that's to generate huge amounts of profits through a nonprofit 501(c) corporation so they can have these incredible lifestyles. And I'm not going to go into detail on what I know about that, because I know a lot about it, because I've been behind the scenes with a lot of that stuff, working with these guys and helping them as far as fundraising. And I've seen some crazy stuff in my life that are, be honest with you, I've seen some stuff that I would share with you. And if I know you individually, I will, but I'm not ready to leave the planet yet. It's that bad with some of these guys. And I mean, I've seen people die, and I mean, crazy stuff. So I'm not going to talk about that today. And this is the problem, isn't it? When the synagogue of Satan invades the churches, you know, they claim to be Christians, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. They're not. You say, well, I can't believe you said that. Well, I'm just telling you that. There are a lot of people out there that are not what you think they are. And that's why it's important that you understand that whatever you do, you need to give honor and praise to Jesus and glory to God Almighty, to the great I am. Because, you know, I was reading the news this morning. I kind of took a break from it. My grandchildren got baptized this weekend. So we had a big get together here at the house yesterday, Austin's kids. And so I was really out of the news loop this weekend. And so I started looking at the news this morning, and I thought to myself, man, if you don't have Jesus Christ living in your heart, if you don't have a relationship with God Almighty, the great I am, if you don't have a true encounter with the Holy Spirit and with the living, risen Christ, if you don't have him living in your heart, when you read this news, this is some negative mess. It really, really is, especially what Austin's talking about now with this new VAERS supposed report that came out. And you start to understand that this group of psychopaths that run the planet, this synagogue of Satan, this Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan, you've heard me say that 100 times on the show, they don't care about you. They don't care about me. They're controlled by the fallen angels. They're controlled by Lucifer. And all they want to do is completely destroy the human race and basically change us to make us something else, just like they did in Genesis 6, where every thought of every man was corrupted all of the time, which people can justify their behavioral patterns no matter what they do based upon, you know, whatever they feel is good. It's all, it's pure, just, you know, just, it's just pure, just worship of oneself is all this is. And we need to understand that. But so that's why keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. For the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same power that took Jesus out of that tomb is the same power that he's given to you, a tiny percentage of his power, but it's there. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, including stand against the evil and the tyranny. One more thing. Boeing jets had a Southwest engine cover blow off.
Gosh,
and I know that was kind of, you know, an abrupt, you know, segue, but I figured I had to do it this way. But the reality is that I'm going to say something here in defense of Boeing, which I didn't think I would do. Southwest Airlines, Boeing 737, and it has another emergency landing after losing an engine cover. And there's pictures of it flopping around. And, you know, here's the thing. You have to ask yourself a question. Who owns Southwest Airlines? And the primary stockholder is Vanguard. Well, then you go a little bit further. Who owns American Airlines? The primary stockholder is Vanguard. And you can say, well, who owns Boeing? Well, the primary stockholder is Vanguard. This is the bloodline family group that we talk about so many times. And you think to yourself, well, it can't all be owned by them. Yeah, pretty much. It is. This was the goal that they did with the Federal Reserve Bank and their Ponzi schemes and all the rest of the stuff. They pretty much own everything, at least controlling interest. Now, why am I starting on that? And what does this have to do with engine covers? Boeing manufactures an airplane. Now, there are manufacturing problems associated with the current aircraft because of the diversity, you know, inclusion program they have, or basically what it is, you know, affirmative action run amok. And what they're doing is they're putting people in positions of authority and mechanics in places where they're building things that they don't have the proper training or the ability or the skill set. Let me explain this, what I mean. I'm a pretty good carpenter. I can build a lot of stuff. Now, am I the best carpenter? Absolutely not. I'm not like a finished carpenter, but I can put stuff together, especially if I have a nail gun. And, you know, there are a lot of people like me out there that can do certain things, but that's not my skill set. You know, I have the ability to, you know, to do seminars and radio and that kind of stuff. That's my real skill set, or, you know, platform speaker, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't try to step outside of my scope of expertise with things that, from a professional standpoint. And when you have people that have no ability to make anything or to use a screw gun or to put a screw in properly, and they're put in that position of being responsible for putting in screws into an airplane to keep the doors from blowing off, and they don't know how to do it, sometimes you can't train somebody to do stuff like that. They're just not physically capable of it. And this is the problem that you have with this diversity, equity, inclusion stuff and this affirmative action. These people are being put in positions of power in order to build stuff. They don't know what they're doing. Now, what does that have to do with Boeing? What does it have to do with Southwest? Airplane maintenance is absolutely critical. Every year, an aircraft has to go through what's called an annual inspection. They literally take the plane and disassemble it. I know that sounds expensive, and it is, because I had an airplane for years and years and years. It's one reason I don't have an airplane anymore. It's too much money to try to maintain. And they take the plane apart. I mean, you go to the shop, and your plane's sitting there in pieces. And they're checking every single wire, every single cable. They're taking the engine. They're checking the plug. They're checking everything. I mean, this thing, it takes sometimes 2 or 3 weeks for an annual inspection. On these big jets, it probably takes longer than that. Here's the problem. The same thing with the affirmative action. Now we're putting the plane back together again for routine engine maintenance that they're doing on a Boeing 737-800 jet that loses an engine cowling, and the person doesn't know how to put the screw in properly. Are you listening to me? And so they've been put there because of their race, their gender, their transgender, their color. It didn't make any difference why they were put there, but they weren't trained properly, or they don't have the skill set to do that. So what happens is they don't put the screw in right. Well, you take off on a plane, the engines are shaking, and this thing's putting a lot of torque out. It's putting out tremendous thrust. And suddenly it gets up to about 200 miles an hour, 250 miles an hour, and the engine cowling wasn't screwed on right. You think, well, that's no big deal. No, it is a big deal, because the air gets up underneath it and rips it off. It just happened. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? And see, now we're starting to see a lot of issues for these people that are hiring these people through Vanguard, who basically controls these organizations and their corporate board because of their stock ownership, and they want to have the right people in the right place to continue to push their transgender agenda, because it brings service to their god, Einsof, who's a snake in a tree, who they believe is an hermaphrodite. You think, well, this sounds so crazy. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds as loony as a doggone Fruit Loop. But the problem is, this is what they're doing. And they're putting these people out there because they're trying to make everybody equal. Let me say something to you about this. When you have gender dysphoria and you want to be a guy, or you want to be a girl, and you want to be the opposite sex, you ain't stable. You ain't thinking about the screw going into the cowling. You're thinking about, well, what am I going to do about the next surgery I've got to have? I mean, you can't think through long-term processes. You don't have the ability of having fluid thought. You're only thinking about the short-term outcome. And somebody hands you a screw gun and says, put the cowling on. You're like, I don't want to put the cowling on. I'm too busy thinking about my problems. And this is it. And so you sit there and you go, so now you're flying into the airplane. All of a sudden you look out the window and the engine cover blows off. And you're like, that's about something I really didn't want to see when I'm in the air. It's kind of like in an airplane if you smell smoke. That's like the worst thing ever. It happened to me one time in my Cessna that I had. I had a 210. The alternator burned up mid-flight. And I smelled smoke in the cockpit at 8,000 feet. Austin was with me. Sharon was with me. And I said, you guys smell smoke? No, we don't smell it. I'm like, I smell smoke. By the way, my mom smoked about 5 packs of cigarettes a day. I mean, how many of your parents smoke? I mean, this was shit hot box of room. It was crazy, one after another. So I have this sensitivity to smoke. I smell smoke. But about the only thing I smell anymore, but I smell smoke. And I smelled smoke at 8,000 feet. And I looked at Austin and Sharon and said, I smell smoke. And now the problem is, if you have an engine fire at 8,000 feet, that's a problem, because I don't have fire extinguishers on a 210. You actually have them installed, but there's very little room under the cowling. So here I am thinking to myself, okay, well, then the smoke smell went away. And I looked over, and sure enough, my alternator was out again. It burned up mid-flight. That's a horrible place to be. I had just had it serviced by an authorized service tech the day before. Okay, so, you know, I was doing the maintenance. So here's the problem. Even if you do the maintenance, sometimes parts fail. So why in the world do you want to put somebody on a ladder to screw on an engine cowling, didn't know if he's a man or a woman, and he's so unstable, he doesn't know what he's doing, and does he really care? I'm going to ask you the question. Does she or he or it or whatever it was or it wants to be today, maybe it thinks it's a cat today, I don't know, do you really want that person involved in your safety mid-flight? My answer is no. If you don't know if you're a cat or a female or a male, there's a problem, and you don't need to be servicing an aircraft that basically has the ability to have a lot of people aboard that can basically lose altitude, lose an engine, and crash. Just saying. What do you think, Austin?
No, there's no question about it. I mean, when you start having these things occur like this, this isn't a joke, and the maintenance on these planes, you're right, is very extensive. So, I mean, this is becoming a problem. This isn't just an isolated incident anymore where we've had one event happen. It's like, okay, we're cool. We'll figure it out. We'll fix it. It was a fluke. This is becoming very, very, very
well,
common.
And this is systemic, though. Think about it for a second. We hear about it on the airlines because of the unbelievable danger associated with it.
That's true.
How many semi-trucks are like this? How many cars are like this? How many buses are like this? How much maintenance is being done on nuclear power plants has been like this? All of this stuff throughout the thing. Now we had another ship lose power right before it went under
the bridge. I saw that in New York. Yep.
Now, how do we know that's not a cyber attack? Because all these ships are hooked to the internet. They're hooked to satellites.
Well, the thing that I was questioning too is I didn't realize this until I was on the show with Doug on Friday, is that boat was built in 2015 that hit
brand new
in Baltimore. Yep. I thought that was like some old cargo ship, some old outdated electronics on it, something fried on it. That boat was brand new. It had all brand new electronics on it, all brand new internet,
all
on
internet connection,
everything. I was just about to say all internet connection. And so then I saw this other thing too.
Cyber hack.
Boom. Oh, we had a power outage again. The same thing happened right when I was going to the bridge in New York with this other one that I just saw, if you guys saw this. And so when you start having this stuff connected to the internet and all this stuff can be hacked and monitored, you start realizing that the ability to manipulate certain things is very easy. And it's funny because you brought up what happened in Cyprus back in 2013. And a lot of people don't realize what happened with that financial crisis. It was a $10 billion international bailout for the European Central Banks and IMF. And essentially Cyprus was going belly up, and they imposed a one-time banking deposit levy on all deposits there and seized around 48% of all uninsured deposits in the Bank of Cyprus. It went on to say here that it was over $10 billion that they bail in, meaning you had money in account, they just took a chop of it off. Yeah, you got, you know, 100,000 in the account.
Synagogue of Satan.
We're going to take 30, 40,000 out. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's a bail-in. It's for your safety. We're taking your money for your safety. You understand that. We're doing it to protect you. And so, again, when you start seeing these things and people say, well, it can't happen. Granted, Cyprus is an island, small country. It's not like it's, you know, this massive, massive thing in the United States. However, but it gives you an example of what happens when the IMF and these international bankers.
It was a test.
Get involved. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was just a beta test to see what they could get away with and how far they could get away with it, and they did. Also, too, in other news, another article that talks about the need for vitamin D3 and healthy bones. And you hear about this a lot, and this article is pretty cool, how it discusses, goes into detail, like we talk about with the D3 10,000 K2, and why and how it processes in order to activate and maintain healthy bones. That's why it's so important that if you are taking calcium supplements as well, especially if you're female, you've got to make sure you're taking D3, magnesium, and K2 with it. It says whenever you take vitamin D3 supplementation, your body undergoes two processes to activate it. First, in the liver, vitamin D is converted to 25-hydroxyvitamin D. That's the actual name for it. After that, the kidneys further transform it into 1,25-dihydrovitamin D. This encourages the absorption of calcium and phosphorus in the small intestines. It then works with the parathyroid hormone to enhance calcium transport, which is essential for maintaining proper calcium and phosphorus levels. Both are crucial to bone health. Vitamin D plays a crucial role in calcium absorption, essential for strong bones and teeth. It also supports muscle and nerve function, facilitating movement and communication within the body. In addition, vitamin D is vital for the immune system as it helps defend against invasions from other compounds and viruses that occur on a regular basis and infections. So what happens is when you start looking at this, a meta-analysis of 12 studies involving over 42,000 individuals aged 65 and over discovered that the prevention of non-vertebral fractures with vitamin D is dependent on dosage. The higher dose of 500 to 800 IUs resulted in a reduction of hip fracture by 18%. However, in another study involving over 25 generally healthy middle life and older adults, supplementing with vitamin D did not lead to a lower risk of fractures compared to placebo when they used 500 IUs. Now, here's the problem with these studies. They're not using any significant amount of vitamin D whatsoever, and they're not stacking it with K2. This is why when you look at the research that goes into detail about higher dose of vitamin D usage with K2, the results invariably always produce positive outcomes for individuals when they're taking products like the D3 10,000 K2 because you're actually getting a clinically relevant dosage. And that's why I tell everybody, check your blood levels with your D3. Because I can promise you almost every single time I've told people to do that, they haven't been supplementing, they're deficient in vitamin D, and it can cause a whole host of other issues, including muscle and nerve function, immune support system, weight loss issues, insulin levels. Vitamin D3 is crucial, my friends, so make sure you're staying stocked up on it, use it on a regular basis. It is one of the most key vitamins, period, in the body that it needs on a regular basis. Also, too, in other news, this is something with this whole solar eclipse stuff that's going on today. I had to cover this just to give everybody a heads up or remind everybody, if you're going outside to look at this thing today, make sure you're not staring at it with, you know, naked eyes. This thing will burn your eyes up. So make sure you're using proper sunglasses if you're looking at it. I know it's going to be rolling around like 2 o'clock this time. I mean, I have things to do today. I may step outside if it happens to come across. We're in Florida again. We'll see what happens with a lot of the push and a lot of the excuses that the federal government likes to do on a regular basis in order to instill fear, to push more control. They've issued like dozens of
you know, warnings all over the country now. National Weather Service issued a forecast for today saying that there's basically a national emergency that could be happening right now, severe weather alerts. This, again, is a lot of times they use this to manipulate the situation to control the populace more by getting everybody talking about it. That's why I'm not covering it much today. So I want to remind you, if you are looking at it, wear some proper glasses because you don't want to hurt your eyes. That's a very serious problem. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. This article goes into detail here talking about how vaping raises heart failure risk by over 19%, especially with the elevated nicotine levels that they use in a lot of these vapes. The new study reports that people who vape or use e-cigarettes are much more likely to develop heart failure compared to individuals who never use them. The study was presented in the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session. The research team found the link after analyzing data from surveys and electronic health records in a large national study conducted by National Institute of Health. The data included information over 175,000 participants who are on average 52 years old, with about 60% being female. They went on to say when they followed up, this is crazy article here. They said the results indicated that those who use e-cigarettes at any point were 19% more likely to develop heart failure compared to those who had not used them. The research team found that participants' age, sex, and smoking status had no effect on the likelihood of developing heart disease. Now, I'm going to say this right here because this is kind of my personal opinion and spinoff of this. A, this research could be showing such a massive increase in heart failure because they're not checking vaccination status of individuals. Now, I'm not justifying and saying that nicotine's good for you. However, these numbers that they're showing here as far as with heart failure is very, very high comparative to what you've looked in the past now with people that have just smoked cigarettes. Now, I do know when people are using vapes, they usually get much higher levels of nicotine in their bloodstream over longer periods of time because they inherently use these products and smoke them and hit them much more regularly than most people do with cigarettes. However, it's very odd to me that you're seeing levels of heart disease and heart failure much higher than normal we've ever seen with cigarettes. You're now seeing it with vapes. Could it be the chemicals and toxin elements that are essentially in these vapes? Could it be, again, the high levels of nicotine as a vasoconstrictant being used on a regular basis? Or could it be that you have individuals that are also vaping that also got the COVID-19 RNA injection?
There you go.
And you're tying those two together. Now you're already having heart damage from the RNA shot. Now you're adding in a copious amount of nicotine on a regular basis. That's something that, like I said, nobody's really asking that question. I'm just speculating, but it's definitely weird to me. 19% increase in developing heart failure for people that use vapes. That's an abnormally high amount for nicotine usage when nicotine has been around for a while.
Especially with so many of the people who are young.
Right.
Okay. I remember when I was at FSU, I remember I had read a study that was talking about using a thermograph, which is used to detect, you know, breast cancer and hot spots in breasts. And the individual had taken their hand and put it inside of the thermograph to see what the scan looked like. And I saw the scan and it was bright red, fully oxygenated.
Right.
And then the person took one inhalation off the cigarette, waited 30 seconds, put their hand back into the machine. It was completely blue from a lack of oxygen.
Wow.
That fast. And so that's why women who use vapes and women who use nicotine and women who use cigarettes, they always age much more quickly.
Yeah.
They really do. I mean, you can see their skin starts to get a wrinkle with a fine line of wrinkles. They start getting wrinkles around their lips and it looks bad. Same thing happens to men. You'll see, you know, you go to class reunion after 20 years. The people that smoke, they age a lot. Sometimes they look 15, 20, 30 years older than the rest of the group, especially when they do drugs.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when they do, when they're drunk, sucking down 20 cups of coffee a day, you know, doing cigarettes and staying drunk every night.
Oh, yeah. That's a good combination.
That's how you want to get yourself really quick, you know, off the planet. What was interesting about this is, you know, I have a good friend of mine. I love the guy. He's like a brother to me. And he's gained a lot of weight. And I'm not going to mention any names because that's not something I'm going to talk about, you know, as far as recognizing any particular individual, because this has happened to a lot of people. And he started dating someone new and he started drinking alcohol with her every night. Now, alcohol almost completely stops the production of an enzyme called lipase, which burns body fat instead of storing body fat. And I saw him here recently. He'd gained like 20, it looks like 30, 40 pounds. And I couldn't believe it. And the girl he's dating likes to drink, you know, every single night. And he never did that, you know. And so now all of a sudden he's with her, and the last few times I've been with him, he's been drinking. And, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong or immoral about having a drink, because there's not. But some people have a tendency when they drink alcohol to really start packing on pounds. Now, if you've got a problem with high blood pressure, a problem with diabetes, a problem with all these different conditions, you really need to think about the alcohol consumption. Now, if you have an occasional glass of beer or wine, which I will do, by the way, I don't really care for wine, but I will have one every once in a while, or a beer, you know, it's not a big deal. But I'm talking about a couple times a year, not every day. Because what happens is it takes about 3 days for those lipase levels to come back up. And when they come back up again, then your body starts burning the fat again. But if you drink an alcoholic beverage on a Monday and then on a Wednesday again or on a Thursday, you literally cover the entire week without producing enough lipase to burn body fat, and you start packing on the fat. And if you have diabetes and you start elevating the amount of insulin in your system, now you end up with Syndrome X. And that doggone elevated insulin caused havoc on your blood vessels. It causes diabetic retinopathy. It causes amputations. It causes all types of conditions that I've seen. I had one of the listeners of the show, wonderful man. He's got problems now with diabetes, some serious health problems with it. And, you know, and so the reality is, if you know that certain things can cause this, you need to cut them out. You really, really just need to cut them out. Like with me, but because my mom drank so much, my dad was a teetotaler, didn't drink anything. Because my mom drank so much, because my brother drinks way too much, you know, I've gotten to the point in my life where I don't really like it. I don't want to be around it. You think, well, are you judging me for drinking? No, I'm not. Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine. So how in the world could I judge you for having a glass of wine? It's ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe people do that. But if you have a tendency to start drinking alcohol, I remember, gosh, it was years ago. I read that lousy, stupid French paradox story. They tell you, well, if you drink wine, you reduce your risks of heart disease. They don't tell you.
Because of the resveratrol.
Yeah. They don't tell you that you increase your risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis, liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. They don't tell you that.
And what they also don't tell you as well is that in order to get high enough levels of resveratrol for anti-aging properties, you have to drink about an entire bottle of wine to get resveratrol.
Yeah. Or you just take a supplement.
Or you take the resveratrol supplement that we have that has no alcohol in it.
Well, and what will happen to me, Austin, this is very strange. I don't think I ever told you this. Is I started drinking, you know, like a glass of wine every night. I think, okay, I'll get used to it. I don't like it, but I'm just going to drink it. It's good for my heart, because I hadn't looked at the details of the study yet.
Right.
Well, I drink this stuff for about a week, and all of a sudden, next night, I'm looking for the alcohol. I'm looking for a bottle of wine, and I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing? My mom was an alcoholic. This is not okay. This is not cool. Yeah. And I thought to myself, 10% of the population is genetically predisposed to drink alcohol. What am I doing? I mean, I'm not going to be involved with this. Went to the sink, looked it upside down, poured it down the drain. Looked at Sharon and said, that's it. I'm done with this crap. I'm finished with it. Now, think about that for a second. I believed the lie for a few weeks, and I thought, I'll try this. I had not yet seen the extensive studies on resveratrol, how much wine you had to drink. I was just drinking a glass of wine every night. And I said, nope, not doing it. And to this day, I'm still diametrically opposed to the use of alcohol on a regular basis. I can't stand it. I really can't. You think, well, How do you justify that? Well, this is my opinion, okay? If you want to occasionally have a glass of wine or whatever, I don't care.
Well, and that's like we were talking about. If you're trying to stay lean, you know, occasional alcohol.
You ain't staying lean.
Occasional alcohol, your body can metabolize and process it, you know, once a month or something if you have a drink. But you're exactly right. If you're trying to stay lean and stay in shape and you're trying to drink every single night, it ain't going to happen. And then you really, really want to pack on the weight. This is really pack on the weight, is drink alcohol like beer or wine and eat pizza with it. Because bread, the carbohydrates, and the fat – the body will not process the fat or the carbohydrates. It will immediately store them, the fat, because the body has to metabolize the alcohol
so
first.
Because it's so poisonous.
It has to metabolize the alcohol first before it can even get to the carbohydrates and fat. By the time the alcohol is metabolized, the fat and cheese and bread and all that, oh, your body's like, this is a fat.
Well, and the reason I'm bringing this up today is because I've got good friends of mine who drink every day, and they're really gaining weight.
Especially if you eat cheese and bread with it on top of that.
Well, it grieves me. I mean, think about it for a second. I mean, every day I get on the scales. I've told you this before. You say, well, you're being obsessive. Okay, whatever. I'm being obsessive. I get on the scales every single day, and I weigh in, and I log my weight in every single day when I work out 6 days a week. I want to see what my weight is. Here a few weeks ago, I gained a few pounds. I thought, I'm not doing this. Because you guys are so kind to me, you'll start sending me letters. You look like you gained a few pounds, Ted. I mean,
so it's all that cheese and wine every night.
Yeah, what are you doing, Ted? What you eating, buddy? Yeah, what's your diet now? Still doing chicken and vegetables? What's wrong with you? I don't want to deal with that. Okay. And I learned something when I was on the seminar circuit. When you stand in front of 40,000 people and you're speaking, you better be in shape. If you come waddling out there at 400 pounds, they're probably not going to buy anything on health and nutrition.
Roll you up there on a scooter.
Oh,
lecture everybody.
With a Walmart scooter.
Lecture everybody about their health. You need to live like me.
Aren't I the example for you? Yeah. And somebody said the other day, they said they really enjoy, you know, watching us on show because it promotes us as far as them staying in shape and working out, because we work out all the time. But I just want to share that with you. Stay away from the alcohol. And remember, alcohol is so poisonous that the body's got to metabolize it before it does anything else. It's got to get it out.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had before some like wine with some really good cheese on it. I get it. It pairs good. Some of it tastes really good. I'll tell you right now that on a regular basis, that will make you gain weight faster than anything. Eat straight cheese, fat, dairy with alcohol. It tells you.
By the way,
stay in shape eating it.
Remember, I said to you the other day. I said, I wonder why they're nailing P. Diddy. Remember, they raided his house. I'm not saying this is why he's being raided. I made the speculation because I started talking a few weeks about Kanye West and Kobe Bryant, and you know, Kobe Bryant taking communion before his helicopter crash, and Kanye West talking about Jesus, right? Here's the article. P. Diddy appears to pray while wearing a top, alluding to miracles after accusations. Wait a minute. Whoa. P. Diddy is seen clasping his hands and praying on the dock of his Star Island mansion in Miami Beach, Florida, on Sunday following his legal problems. Whoa. The music mogul was first spotted in a white T-shirt engrossed on his phone and later changed another outfit, donning a miracle shirt while enjoying a glass of wine.
No.
I'll throw that in there. Sean P. Diddy had been primarily residing in Florida following the raids, which are part of the federal human trafficking investigation. Now, am I saying that he's become a Christian?
No.
No, not saying that at all. Am I saying that he could be a Christian and he could be talking more about his faith and he's left his weird lifestyle behind him and now he's talking about Jesus? I don't know. Could that be possible? You know, Kobe Bryant, right before he died, had gone in and had communion. You know, that's kind of crazy when you stop and think about that, right before he passed away. And, you know, here it says Kobe and Gianna Bryant took communion before their fatal crash. Their priest said they arrived for mass a few hours before the flight. Okay, well, Kobe Bryant's talking to Kanye West, talking about Jesus, talking about Christianity, talking about all the rest of the stuff as far as what Kanye had seen in his life. And now Kobe Bryant goes and has communion. All of a sudden, his helicopter gets flown into a mountain at 175 knots instead of just being put into a hover mode. Yeah. I have, as a pilot, I've got some. First of all, if you're flying a helicopter with celebrities on it, this is a very advanced helicopter he was on. If you've got a helicopter like that, you know, it has a situation where you could just hover the airplane, the aircraft. You do not have to sit there and go 175 knots in the fog, try not to hit a mountain. You know, up in North Carolina, where, you know, we used to vacation, we used to fly up there all the time. I always remember, you know, when our airport was right in the middle of a mountain range. Both of them were, because there's mountains all around there. And so what you'd have to do if you want to take off in the morning, you'd have to make sure you could see the tops of the mountains. Why do you care about that? Because you got to fly over them. And so if you got a mountain that's 3,500 feet up and you got to clear it, you got to make sure you can see it and it's clear enough before you fly over it, because you don't want to run into it. That's called controlled flight into terrain. There's actually a term for it. You got to be a pretty bad pilot to do that. It's like flying at night and hitting a tower at 2,000 feet. You kind of need to know where you are. That's why you get trained with instruments. But what's crazy about this is, why in the world would Kobe Bryant's pilot, who's a trained instrument pilot on a helicopter, be flying around at 175 knots into terrain when all he had to do was hover the helicopter and just go straight up? You don't have to. The thrust is created by the blades pushing down, holding the aircraft up, the helicopter up. You don't have to fly. On an airplane, you can't just stop. If you stop, what ends up happening is you lose thrust, you lose lift, and then you fall. You go straight down. Helicopters don't do that unless they have an engine malfunction. They just hover. Why was this guy a trained, skilled pilot? Now, one guy said to me, well, it could have been like that ship we talked about just a second, Austin. Somebody could have taken control
absolutely.
Of it
in this
flight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dead men tell no tales. That's how I look at this thing. We had another plane crash in Tampa this past weekend. It was one of those planes that had a parachute attached to it. And nobody died. Guy had something had happened to it. He pulled the parachutes on it, but floated down. And the problem is, when you do that, those planes are all night, they're automatically completely totaled because of the impact. Yeah. But at least you're still alive.
What, Cirrus?
Cirrus, yeah. They're actually good. I've flown them before. They're really a nice plane.
The parachute's cool if it works.
Yeah, but let me tell you how cool these planes are. Now, I'm not promoting them. I'm not a Cirrus dealer. I don't own a Cirrus. Yeah, but I've flown them. When you fly one and you turn it too far, it stops you. The yoke will turn, but the electronics on the plane says, nope, you turned it too far. You may go into a spin. We won't let you do that. It just doesn't do it. Because everything's controlled by electronically. There's no wires to the ailerons or to the rudder. It's all electronic. So if you oversteer, you turn too hard, and you're gonna do this, you go into a spin, it stops you from doing it. That's how safe they are. But in the event that you start having problems with, you have an engine loss or whatever, you just pull the parachute. The problem with these planes, The problem with the plane is the vertical stabilizer, according to some people that I know, this is the research that I've done, is not large enough to recover from a spin. So if you know, not the ailerons, the tail section of the plane is not tall enough. So it has to have that ability with a parachute to be approved for the FAA. It's a great aircraft. It flies around 180 knots. It's a good airplane. Would I own one? I don't know. They're pretty expensive. But the reality is that one of them parachuted back down again. So be very, very careful. And I have no idea why I got into that.
Yeah, we're,
I segued off it. That means I went off the cliff with that
we're
one.
We're parachuting.
Oh, my
Sears God.
I'm
down,
talking about Colby
down
Bryant.
On the ground.
Oh,
I'm
the helicopter.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, cyber hacking. Can you get in some of these electronic planes and helicopters with cyber hacking?
Of course. Well, they're connected to satellite.
Right. Well, it's like the same thing earlier, because I was really curious when I was reading this article earlier. It was talking about this cargo ship that essentially almost crashed in this New York City bridge. And, you know, you're right. I mean, are some of these things happening because these are cyber attacks? Because, you know,
could turn your car off going down the road 20 years ago.
That's true.
Okay. And you know, and Tesla's could be if they could turn your car off, they could turn
they
the ship off.
They can't hack into a cargo ship. Yeah,
you turn the engines off.
Let's say it doesn't have to be extensive control.
But you see what it did? They had a bunch of tugs on it.
That this time, yes.
And they sent more tugs out there.
Yep.
And they stabilized it and dropped the anchor.
Yep.
See, the other day, no tugs were available. I don't guess at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. But the reality is now they're saying that they're going to have that thing cleared within a week or so, as far as having a passage open back up in the Baltimore Harbor.
Okay.
And they have the ability to do that if they really kick it in and put a lot of people in. So with cutting torches and they start taking those cranes out into the water and start picking up the pieces and putting them on a barge. They can do whatever they want if they spend enough money.
Yeah.
And, you know, since Biden said that we, the people, that means me and you,
yeah,
and you, the listeners, are going to pay for the repair of this build, rebuild the bridge.
That's exciting. I wonder if it's coming out of the Ukraine fund, or we got to add more money on top of the Ukraine fund.
I just need to ask a question here. Are we going to have our name on the bridge?
Yeah, we the people. Is it going to be we the people bridge?
No, I want Ted Brower paid for part of this. Austin Brower paid for this. And put your name on it and say, okay, here we are. We're going to have 200 million people now. Oh, I'm sorry, about 100 million people that actually work in the country. And, you know, we're going to have our names on the bridge saying, we paid for Baltimore. Tell you, Baltimore, you can at least tell us thank you.
I mean, it is what it is. Where we're at now. Also, too, another news. I told you guys the other day how the CDC – was using the measles now to push the MMR shot because of the measles epidemic, pandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it this time, the outbreak in the United States. And I just got some of the reports here that are actually coming out with the numbers. And it was ironic to me because when I told you guys, I said, the MMR shot, you cannot get a measles shot by itself anymore. It doesn't exist. And now you've got the new MMR 2.0 that's going to be an RNA gene therapy shot that is now getting approval for the FDA to be pushed and rolled out of the market as a new MMR shot. It's going to be RNA gene therapy. It's exactly what I told you is going to happen when the COVID shot got approved and RNA gene therapy technology got opened up to the public for testing. Because if you remember, RNA gene therapy, when going in and causing the body to start producing a virus, this technology was never approved by the FDA originally. They declined it. They said it was too dangerous, it was too difficult, and it was too hard to run on test subjects and determine whether or not it was going to be safe because all the ferret and cat testing died. So the RNA MMR 2.0 shot that is now being rolled out, now the CDC has been saying, we've got a measles outbreak across the country, 300 million people here in this country. We've got millions coming across the border, unchecked, unfettered.
With measles and tuberculosis. Measles.
We've got 97 measles cases in the last 4 months.
We need to go ahead and force vaccines.
97 cases in the last 4 months. And here's the funny part about this. The own numbers show here, the CDC reported that 59% of these 97 measles cases were unvaccinated. Meaning it's almost split in the middle.
Boom, 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 boom.
So you've got, you know, about 55, 60 people that have been unvaccinated for the measles, that have caught the measles, zero deaths. But everybody needs to go get their MMR shot immediately, right now, because it's for your safety and protection. And ironically enough, why have we seen this massive uptick to 97 cases of measles in the United States? What happened this year so far in the last 4 to 5 months? What has been going on? Oh, that's right. We're having people come from all over the world descend upon this country like an atomic bomb. Everywhere from every country is coming here.
They don't need to nuke us.
No, they don't need to nuke us. What's crazy here is if you read the numbers as well, they said that the numbers as far as – they said 70% –
70% of these 97 cases are from people coming from outside the country.
Imagine that.
So the numbers, the math ain't mathing, guys. It's not mathing. The CDC's own numbers are showing this entire thing is being used as fear porn to try to get it. And I was reading an article here earlier that was talking about the uptick of pediatricians' usage of MMR shots. Guess what it's done the last 2 months now? It's gone up. Parents have been rushing to the pediatrician to get their MMR shot for fear that their children may catch the measles. I've told you before, if you happen to contract the measles, child or adult, make sure – I went over a whole article on it. Make sure you're taking high doses of vitamin C every day. Make sure you're taking adequate D3. That is a crucial one. Make sure you're taking the zinc. And you can also go in and take a product that we have on the website called Viral Graphis. It's a very good antiviral natural supplement that works great. You do not use it on a regular basis. It is only to be used if you get sick or you have a virus infection. You get exposed to this. But, again, this is why I bring this information to you, because while you hear about all this on the mainstream media, the measles outbreak – biblical proportions with 97 people in 4 months, I'm giving you the real numbers and how to handle it accordingly and not live in fear, because quite frankly, that's all they want to do. A fearful population is an easily controlled population.
I had the measles.
Yeah, I know.
Miserable. It was miserable. But what is bad is the chickenpox worse. I had those too.
Chickenpox.
Oh, I had the mumps too. I mean, you know, I had like lifetime immunity against this stuff. So I had all that stuff when I was a kid. And you know, we'd have a measles wave go through the school. Everybody can have measles. I mean, it was funny, but everybody had them, and everybody was
measles. Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
I never got them again. By the way, the American Cancer Society is warning that a tidal wave of tumors is coming, with cases set to rise by 80%. About 20 million cases diagnosed in 2022, expected to reach 25 million now. Lung cancer was the leading cause of the diagnosis and leading cause of death. Imagine that with all the vaping going on right now. And we are seeing this happening all over the world now with these cancers going through the roof. And the sad part about this is a lot of people are having all types of immune-related disorders, and that's something that people consider cancer to be in many cases. And a lot of it, I believe, personally, is my opinion, is because of the COVID shot. That's why it's so important that you stay on the spike protein survival kit. You got to do these proteolytic enzymes to try to stop the replication of the spike proteins. And also said something that was very interesting a minute ago. Not everything he says is interesting, but it kind of sparked.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And he said that. And now they're going to shifting all of these different childhood vaccines, mRNA shots, and that's happening now. And they're finding ways to incorporate this into the cell structure. Now, I don't know how many of them have been researched to do this or how many of them are going to be researched to do this and how many of them are actually having this done right now. But here's what I will say. The MMR shots that were originally tested by DARPA in 20 years ago, all the cats and all the ferrets died. And they said this is not applicable to humans. We can't do it. So why would they not do this? Why would they not incorporate this type of technology into every single shot they're going to give children from now on to sterilize them, to basically cause them all kinds of mental issues, et cetera, et cetera? Why would they not? Why would they not do everything they possibly can if their whole goal here is reduce the population of the planet, and like this article says, to basically cause cancer? She goes on to say, the article says, obesity, alcohol, tobacco use are all increasing around the world. Imagine that. And the U.S. is no exception. But better screening, such as mammogram uptakes, by the way, like that can have mammograms. Be very careful with those, because they have a lot of false positives and false negatives, are believed to be driving up rates as well. The study also examines the human developmental index to understand how cancer burden varies from country to country. And it goes more of this medical jargon into this article. I'll post it for you guys can read it. But the truth is this. When your body is being injected with a spike protein that the body is going to reject, then they have to put an immune suppressant inside of the vaccine. In order to get your body to start making spike proteins, the entire immune system goes down. And when that happens, all disease rates are going to go up. So they're trying to give you something that's going to make your immune system shut down and have all kinds of other health problems associated with it. So be very, very careful before you start putting vaccines in your body or in your children's bodies, and make sure you know what type of technology is being used. Personally, the way I feel, until they could create a clean vaccine without adjuvants like aluminum and squalene and all these other things they put in these vaccines, or they used to use thimerosal. They still use thimerosal, by the way, in the flu shot, which is mercury, which is an incredible neurotoxin. Until they stop doing this kind of garbage with vaccines, my big answer is no, I'm passing it. Now, in biology, I remember I took a biochemical genetics class at FSU, and they told us vaccines are very, very important, because you take a dead pathogen, you know, dead portion of that virus or whatever it is, and you put it in the body, and the body sees it and says, oh, no, we're going to produce antibodies against it. So now you have immunity. That's the theory behind it, just to really make it brief. The problem is they don't just put that dead thing in you. They put all these adjuvants in you to create an inflammation at the infection site to try to at the injection site, which becomes the infection site, to try to get your body to produce these antibodies. And you think, well, that seems like that's a pretty good idea. Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. 76 vaccines now with these kids. So pretty soon the body is basically being overcome by these injections and all these immune responses by the body. And the body's immune system is overloaded. Hence, we have a massive increase in cancer rates all over the world now. Now think about it for a second. You know, we all know that cigarettes and nicotine are bad. I get emails in, well, nicotine's good for you. I'm like, and I guarantee you, every single time somebody says nicotine is good for you, probably 99% of the time, the person smokes. They're justifying what they're doing. Nicotine is not something you want to put in your body. Now, I know we have nicotinoid receptors in the body, and some foods contain tiny, tiny amounts of this that recept it through the body. That doesn't mean you're supposed to sit around stuck on a vape every 30 minutes. I mean, think about what you're doing. You know, there's a restaurant over in Ybor City. And I don't know what they do. They've got these things that people sit outside on the sidewalk, Austin, and it's like a water jug, and they're sucking smoke out of it.
It's a hookah.
What the heck is that?
And that's old Middle Eastern tobacco smoke.
Well, no. So they're out there.
It's like a bong for tobacco.
No, they're out there using this bong for tobacco, and they're, you know,
don't quote me on that.
Bong for tobacco, and they're out, and the restaurant serves them.
Yeah.
Okay. They bring them to the table outside.
It's a cultural thing. It's a fancy way to smoke, is what it is.
It's so weird.
It's you're funny.
It's so weird.
It's very popular in college. I've seen it a lot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's not abnormal anymore.
And I'm like, wow, this is weird. And so I'm sitting here trying to have Spanakopita. This is a great restaurant, by the way. It's called Acropolis in Ybor City. I don't work for them. I'm not endorsing them. I'm telling you, they have a great Spanakopita, which is spinach pie. Just thought I'd mention that. But don't go to Ybor City at night unless you just really want to get shot or robbed. Don't go over there. On Halloween, where they have 14 people get shot over there, something crazy like that.
Yeah, a couple of gunfights, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like automatic weapons and crazy stuff. Yeah. Whatever it was, I don't remember. But so don't go there at night. Just don't do it. But, you know, for lunch, it's pretty good. But the reality is that, you know, be careful where you go and really evaluate if you want to sit around smoking a bomb for tobacco.
Gosh. I'm going to get emails on that one. Everybody's going to be like, you butchered the culture of that. Nah, I get it. I mean, if you want to smoke tobacco and use nicotine products, understand what it does to you. But again, you know, using that on a semi-regular basis is a lot different than these vapes and stuff that's going on. That's one of the issues I've told you guys, the issues with the vapes that is so bad is that you get this constant nicotine drip essentially in your bloodstream all day, every day. And it's become so common now, a lot of people just do it on a regular basis here. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. I was reading an article here earlier, and it says how now insurance companies are using drones to basically fly over people's houses to figure out a way how to cancel their homeowner's insurance. They said home insurance companies using drone footage, and including using it to cancel their home insurance by saying that their roof is too old and a host of other issues. What's happening with this now? And this is something to just be aware of. It's because I've heard about this now starting to be discussed. Now, I have not heard of this being implemented. In most of the mortgages, in the papers that you sign with a mortgage, homeowner's insurance is a requirement to maintain.
That's right.
If you decline or you fail or you don't keep up with your homeowner's insurance, they can actually cancel your mortgage, meaning they can call the note due. So if you owe $250,000 on your house and all of a sudden your homeowner's insurance gets canceled and you can't find anybody, they'll give you a date. I've seen this happen before. They'll give you a date. You need to basically secure another mortgage. You need to secure different homeowners insurance, or you need to come up with the $250,000 because your note is getting called. I don't know if they're going to start doing this on a regular basis with insurance companies intentionally to try to get houses to default as an excuse so they can come in and buy the pennies on the dollar. I'm just speculating, but I do find it funny now. Insurance companies are literally, and I've heard this all across the board from vehicles to homes and everything, they're coming up with any excuse they can now to cancel people's policies at the very end after they've sucked as much cash as they can out of them, or if that person's not going to be, I guess, a viable enough of a subject to make enough money off of. And this is starting to get worse and worse and worse. And one of the reasons why is because some of these insurance companies, they're getting stuck with the bill with a lot of people that do not pay taxes, that do not pay for insurance, and essentially are living here for free on federal government grants from other countries. And essentially the payers, the taxpayers, the insured motorists, we're all getting footed with the bill. I talked to somebody the other day, and they were getting renewing their car insurance.
And dude, it went up like another $80 a month. This is insane. It was like $200-something already. It bumped up over like $300 a month. And this is what's happening now from a lot of it's incidences that are occurring all across the board in Florida, especially with everybody moving here, dude.
Well, you know, remember what Klaus Schwab said?
Yeah.
Er hat gesagt. Es spricht auf Deutsch, right? Er hat gesagt. He said, Klaus Schwab, by 2030, you'll know nothing
you'll like,
and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
God, don't you just want to slap him upside the head? I mean, I'm not advocating slapping Klaus Schwab. God, I just did, didn't I?
I think you did, bro.
Don't do it, okay? Because you're not going to see him anyhow. But I mean, who says stuff like that? By 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Okay. Well, who owns State Farm? Who owns State Farm? Vanguard Group, 507 million shares. BlackRock, 441.1 million shares. Or 50. I said, hang on one second. I got to get this right.
Golly. Why are you surprised?
Oh, man, no, I was right. I thought I was wrong. Vanguard Group, 507 million shares. BlackRock, 441 million shares. State Street, 283 million shares. Whoa.
God, you're talking almost a billion shares.
Okay. We're talking worth $15 billion, $9.4 billion in ownership. Okay. When you have that kind of control over the board of directors of State Farm.
Yeah.
Igloba. This is Klaus Schwab. Igloba. We must have missing drones hopping. We have to have a few drones. Let's fly over your house. Ha ha ha. Your shingle has a crack in it. Okay. Mortgage being called. And you're like, it's my roof's not leaking. Ho ho ho. You know nothing. You know, he's like a stinking Nazi with a bad accent. You're like, what is wrong with this dude? Right. And you're like,
but you think about it though.
Have you seen him in the wedding dress?
No. Yeah. I don't recommend that photo.
It's put Klaus Schwab wedding dress.
No, don't. We're not putting it up. But that would be right. You think about it. You get enough incidences where you start having people where they can't pay their insurance on their car. They can't keep a mortgage because they can't afford the insurance on their house.
Taking your house.
Yeah. You can rent a house and you can Uber and that's it.
You know nothing.
Get with you, man.
Lucky guy.
Appreciate you guys. You continue to own something. Don't let these guys win. I appreciate you, my friends. Healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Be sure to stock up on the D3 on sale product of the week. Over 20% off right now on the front page, right up front. Easy to stock up on it. Have a safe, awesome night, my friends. And you guys stay healthy and strong as always. We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow as always.
Love you guys.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.